Well, the theme that's upon my spirit this morning, we've just been singing about in that hymn 1102, the previous one, trusting to his, that is Jesus's, wise direction, we shall gain the port, the final destination, at last. So what's the text that's upon my spirit? You'll find in John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door. By me, this is Jesus talking, by me, Jesus, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, I was brought to this theme by the fact that I was listening to the news on Friday as I was driving along, and there was some news about the US World Cup, the football World Cup, or the soccer as they call it in America. And there were people that are travelling from the UK and they've been denied access into the US. And this is something that they've been looking forward to for ages. It's 4 years between a World Cup, as perhaps you will know. And there's all the build-up of all the qualifying matches. Will my team get in or won't it? And then the teams are finally affixed as to who's qualified to be there in Mexico and the US and Canada it is this year. And then there's the announcement of when the fixtures are going to take place, and then they start thinking about which matches they want to go to, and then the tickets go on offer, up on sale, and everybody was shocked about the prices of them. And then they think about the booking of the tickets, and then they have to get a visa, and lots of these people, they got the visas through okay to start with. Then they start sorting out the flights, the hotels. Then they start thinking about plans with other friends or family or loved ones that they might be going along with. And there's all this excitement that's building up in all the people that are going to attend for quite a long time, for months, if not years. And they finally think, as it's nearly the time to go, that they're soon going to be packing their bags and soon going to be heading off to the airport. And then there's been people that have been getting an email through. Your access is denied. You are no longer able to enter the US. For some person, it was because they'd been to Cuba last year, and that was deemed to be a problem. There were other people that got all the way to the airport, and then as they booked in at the airline told them, we can't let you on the plane because you haven't got a permit to get off the plane at the other end. And no reason was given. People are obviously disappointed, devastated. They probably spent £15,000 to £20,000, because some of those tickets are £1,000, if not £3,000 for one ticket for the matches. So they spent thousands, tens of thousands of pounds on this trip. They've been looking forward to it with their friends or whoever they've been going with, and now they're gutted. This once in a lifetime opportunity, memory, those lifelong memories. The opportunity for them, all gone. All the build-up. All the hopes dashed. And I was thinking, isn't that just so much like what the Word of God tells us? There are people out there that go through life. We've all been like it in our past, perhaps. Build all the way through our lives thinking, there is no God. Thinking, I have no soul. Thinking, there is no eternity. Thinking, this life is all that there is to worry about. Or, if they have some idea that there is a life after death and after life, their thoughts would be, I'll be all right, I'll be in heaven. It'll be their version of heaven, all sorts of different views of what heaven to them might be like. Others might say, I'm going to be a star. The Bible tells us there are people that go through their life and they have no worries about the future, no worries about what's going to happen. Psalm 73 tells us there are no bands in their death. It doesn't look like there's any problem about them dying. You see that with the quest for assisted suicide. There's no worries. They're not worried about dying. Their strength is firm. They think they're absolutely rock solid. They have nothing to worry about. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued as other men. They don't have the problems that other men and women and boys and girls seem to have. But the Bible tells us, and we read about it in Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us that after death, the Lord Jesus will separate people one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. His sheep divided from the goats. And we see the message that will come to those that know not the Lord, to those that Jesus calls here the goats, to those who have no concern about their soul here upon earth, to those who are anticipating either nothing or nothing to worry about. It says, depart from me. Depart from me, ye cursed. There is a going away from everything that is good. All the good you thought, you're going to be departing from it. You're going to be separated from it. Ye cursed. That means you are. There is a state of forever trouble, difficulty, problem. You're going to go into a state of everlasting trouble and torment, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So you're leaving everything that's good and you're destined to trouble, and you're going somewhere else that is full of everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice it wasn't initially prepared for people. People go there because they renounce the God, their creator. They disobey God, their creator. Go to a place that is worse than you'd ever imagined possible. So, thinking about getting that email, you can't go to the US, that's a devastating, disappointing email to get. But I was thinking, this is beyond devastating, to get to this point at the end of your life and to realize that you're told, depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is a disaster. This is devastating. But you see, with God, there are plenty of warnings. The Bible is full of warnings. When Cain first sinned and argued with his brother, God lovingly spoke with him and said, Cain, if you do well, God will do you good. But if you do bad, trouble is ahead. There was the warning for Cain. There was the warning for the people that lived before the flood, when Noah preached for maybe 120 years whilst he was building the ark. He kept on saying, judgment is coming. You may think that everything is fine going ahead for hundreds of years. You're going to be all right for hundreds of years. But Noah said, no, because of sin, a flood is coming. and it's going to sweep everyone away, and there's going to be one place of safety, and it's in this ark that I'm building. It's a big ark, it's got a big door, there's plenty of room, but it's the only place of safety. And Noah preached, and he preached, and he preached, until the day came that he went into the ark, and the door, the Lord shut the door. And at that very moment, or in those next few moments, the windows of heaven were opened up, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and all those people that had listened all that while and took no notice to the preaching of Noah were taken to a lost eternity, swept away. The Bible gives us warnings. Sodom and Gomorrah, when God was going to destroy that, Lot is given warning, and he goes and tells other people, you need to get out of this place because the fire and brimstone is coming tomorrow. And we read that he spoke as one that told idle tales. You're just telling fairy tales, Lot. You're off your rocker. It's just a load of rubbish. But in the end, Lot was taken out with his two daughters, and initially his wife, but everybody else stayed behind. And as Lot went out of the city and was far enough away, safe out of the way, the fire and brimstone came from heaven, and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, and all there was a smoke that came up from the valley. Jesus warns too. Jesus came into this world with a warning. Repent. Change direction. There's an offer, you see, of peace. An offer of salvation here and now. But if it's ignored, in just the same way as destruction came to Noah's day, Sodom, Gomorrah, so it is for each one of us. There will be a time when it's too late. We have warnings, but there comes a time when it's too late. And when it's too late with God, there's no appeals process. You can't say, hang on a minute, I just need to change my mind. Hang on a minute, can we just go through that again? At the point when it's too late, a great gulf or barrier is fixed. And there is no way of moving from one side of the fence to the other side of the fence. There is no way at that point of changing sides from being a goat to a sheep, as it says in this parable. You see, if you get your email through that you can't access the US, then there are things that you can try and do to change things. Speak to somebody high up and see if you can get something sorted out. There is a way around some of these things, but there is no appeals process with God. There is this great gulf fixed. And worse than that, when we have a shock, if you are disappointed with something, or something dramatically changes in your life, maybe worse than a football, not being able to go to the football, but you kind of know what I mean, when we get a big problem that really upsets us, a big shock, then often people end up with mental health issues, or people talk about post-traumatic stress disorder and so on. And in that case, there is all kinds of maybe treatments or counselling that can be given. But in this situation, with the shock that you've entered into eternal damnation, there is no opportunity for a remedy. There is no opportunity for treatment. There is no opportunity for soothing or anything like that. We see about a man who is in torment in hell, and he asks, please, can you just send someone with a little bit of water to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. We read about that in Luke chapter 16. I just want a little soothing, says this man that was sent into hell. But the answer was, remember, you had good times here upon earth, and this other man, Lazarus, who was in heaven, he had a bad time on earth, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You are now in a state of torment, and that torment is a never-ending torment. It's the state you're in. It's the position you're in, and it's an unchangeable position. And he goes on to say, and besides all this, there is this great gulf fixed, so that the people that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. We can't communicate one with another. There's no way of helping you. You are beyond help. Even if I wanted to, I can't get there. There is a great gulf. There is a great barrier fixed. No one can help. You imagine that. A massive disappointment, a devastating bit of news. You're sent forever into a troubled place, into a place of flames. And there's no one that can ever come and help you. There is no access to any helper. And notice, we don't see that anyone else helps anyone else there. There is no love. There is no one to help each other there. They're all fighting for their own issues. And there's no support. And there's no help. There's no helping one another. And so we see how important it is to be as one of the sheep that Jesus talks about. May it be our concern this morning, as it says in verse 32 of the chapter that we read, Matthew chapter 25, that we might be one of his sheep, the sheep belonging to Jesus. Because the sheep belonging to Jesus are on the right-hand side at that day. The sheep belonging to Jesus hear the message of peace from Jesus. They've responded to the message of conditions of peace. And you'll remember, we often think about it at Christmas time, that when the Lord Jesus came, the announcement of the angels was that peace on earth. Here is, in Jesus Christ and his birth, this is how peace can be achieved on earth. There's all sorts of talks of peace on earth, isn't there? Like the signing of an agreement between Iran and the US. It may be a temporary peace. It may stop some of the fighting, but we know that there will be issues going forwards, one kind and another. But the peace that is spoken about by the angels when the Lord Jesus comes is a total peace in our hearts. This is the source of peace for mankind. It is Jesus Christ, goodwill toward mankind. Good news for mankind. You see, there is news here that if we are, and if you are, and if I am a goat, we need to be changing direction to become a sheep. That's really the message of the Lord Jesus. It's a message of peace to people that are in the wrong position and the wrong place at this moment in time, to have time to turn to being in the right place. To have time to change from being goats into sheep, as it's speaking about here. That's the message of Jesus. Repent. Make a change, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and now is the time for the kingdom of heaven to be accessed. Now, whilst we are here upon earth, from this moment here, where we are today until the day that we die, is the time of access for us. That is the time that the kingdom of heaven is recruiting souls. That is the time that the kingdom of heaven for us is in recruit mode. It is open. The great gulf is not yet fixed between us and heaven. The message of the Lord Jesus' first coming, you see, to this earth is there is, as we've been reading about in John chapter 10, there is a sheepfold. And that sheepfold is one to be part of. It's a sheepfold that's essential that we are part of it. We need to become one of the sheep that are found in the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be one of his sheep, looked after by the Lord Jesus, looked after by the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, we read this morning. And you might ask, well, how is that possible? How can I be part of the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I be one of his sheep? And it's a very good question. It's a question that we all need to ask. And it's a question that we all need to know the answer, because an eternity hangs on upon it. And the answer is to be found in verse 9. Jesus' answer, I am the door. You enter by the door. The door is Jesus, because he says, I am the door. And when God says, I am, it means that this is about me and it is true forever. True forever. That's why it's am, because in the present tense, it's not I was, it's not I going to be, I will be, but I am. In the present tense of what we're living in today, Jesus is the door for the sheep. The entrance point. If the kingdom of heaven is recruiting, Jesus is the door. If we're going to get into heaven or the kingdom of heaven, it is through Jesus, the door. And what's important about this door is that it has locks on it. It is a secure door. We might have a lock that you need a key for, or sometimes you have a lock with a combination of numbers to get in. There's all sorts of locks. But this door has locks, or a combination, or whatever you like to imagine, but no one knows the combination. No one knows, or no one's got the key, but Jesus. He is the door. He is the one to enter through. And the important thing is that we can't force our way through the door. There is no opportunity in the parable that we read in Matthew chapter 25 for someone to say, well, I'm refusing to go on to the left side. I'm going to go on to the right side. This is the immense and eternal and infinite power of God that does the separating. He shall separate them one from another. And when God Almighty does separating, there is absolutely nothing that you and I can do to appeal against that process or to interfere with that process. It is like trying to interfere with an exploding volcano, for example, when you're at the crater. There's nothing that you can do. That's just a very small example of the infinite power of God, but it gives us an idea of how futile it is to try to force our way, if you like, into heaven. It's the Lord Jesus that's the door. I am the door. The Lord Jesus must open the door. And so, if the Lord Jesus must open the door, we cannot force our way in, and yet he is the door, then what am I to do? What am I to do? And we see here that we are to come to the door. The Lord Jesus is a living door. He is a person. He calls himself a door because he is the access point. He's not actually a door. He's just the access point to heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And when we come to the door, we are coming to Jesus, the person. And we are coming to declare some things. You need to declare, I need to declare, I need to confess some things. I need to tell the Lord Jesus that I believe that there is no way for me to get into heaven my way. We need to confess to the Lord Jesus that there is a door. We believe there's a door. We believe there's a great goal fixed. We believe that we cannot open the door. If the Lord Jesus separates his goats from his sheep, there is that example that we could say that I can't change myself from being a goat to being a sheep. I can't change myself into a sheep, and if I could, I can't make myself one of his sheep. I would still be potentially a lost sheep. We need to come with confession to the Lord Jesus Christ, the door, the access point. With confession, I can't give myself heaven. And we need to tell the Lord Jesus these things. This is about talking to the door. Sounds like a silly thing to do. We are talking to Jesus, not just the door. We are talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are confessing. So we are to tell him that we believe, we don't believe that we can do it, but we are then to plead and testify that we believe the Lord Jesus is able to do what's necessary. The Lord Jesus in his word tells us that he is able to give a place in this sheepfold. And the Lord Jesus, we are to tell him that we believe what he says about himself. We believe that he does what he says he will do. We are to come to the Lord Jesus believing that as a goat, as a sinner, as one of the wicked, I am heading for disaster, a lost eternity. We are to tell him that just like we understand those people got the letter to say you're denied access, that is the message that we get through the Bible to me because of my sins, because of my unrighteousnesses. And so therefore, access is denied to heaven. I'm heading for disaster. I'm heading for a lost eternity. Death is before me. Torment is before me. Everlasting fire is before me. I'm not ready. But Lord Jesus, I come. Come to the door. I tell him, I've got no right to enter. I tell him, I've got a right to be banned, to be denied any access. But we read in God's word that there is a way of knocking. We read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Now we all understand when a door is shut, if you knock on it, maybe it will open. It'll be a door that's locked. You might be standing outside the door on the doorstep and you knock and you knock and eventually you can hear someone shuffling up to the door. You can perhaps hear them rustling with the locks, and with the undoing the keys and so on. And then eventually the door opens. The latch is turned and the door opens. And knocking led to the door being opened. Well, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus tells us. Knock on his door. Communicate with him. Ask him for a way of entering in. We are to say, Lord Jesus, I come knocking. I come pleading for mercy. I come asking for something. People knock on the door. Sometimes it's a charity. There's someone doing a collection for charity. They're asking for something. Or they're wanting something. And you might put some money in a pot for some charity or other. Well, they knocked on the door. You opened. They asked. And perhaps you gave some money to put in their pot. Well, that's so simple, isn't it? And yet it's what the Lord Jesus teaches us. The door opens, we can ask. Lord Jesus, be my eternal shepherd. Open the door. And what do we read here in John chapter 10? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We can enter in to the fold. We can be saved because Jesus has opened the door. The Lord Jesus is able to save us from being a goat. He's able to save us from wickedness. And he saves us to obedience to his voice. It says here, they know his voice. The sheep hear his voice. He leadeth them out. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You see, what's important is to be transformed from being a goat-like, which just takes no notice of the shepherd. That's what this picture is here. To being sheep-like, that does take notice of the shepherd. You and I are to be given, to plead with the Lord Jesus for an obedient spirit, to have obedience to his voice. My sheep follow him. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. To be transformed to be one of his sheep that know his voice and obey him, follow him. And it says, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And when we talk here, it says, I am the door by me if any man enter in. It doesn't just mean men, of course. It means boys and girls, men and women, anyone in the human race. By me, if any man, any member of the human race enter in. And that's why the beautiful gospel is so wide in terms of its scope, in terms of who it applies to. It's people of every nationality, every race, every background. The Lord Jesus is able to change goats into sheep, those that were disobedient into those that are obedient, those that are now made his sheep. And they shall go in and out through this life. There's going in and out in this world. Being in at home. Being out at work. Out at school. Out on holiday. Out visiting. But the shepherd's with us. With us at home. With us at work. With us at school. With us on holiday. With us going out to see friends or wherever it is that we go. Wherever we go, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, going in and out and find pasture, blessing for the sheep, strengthening for the sheep, support for the sheep. And we can see here by inference, it's the sheep, the shepherd cares for the sheep. And it's only, it's a kind of a negative here, because it says the hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But the inference there is that I am the good shepherd and I do care for the sheep. The Lord Jesus cares. There will be those people out there that will say, yes, I'll help. But when the when the going gets tough, they're off. We see it in all sorts of things in life where people are not committed. They're not committed to what they're involved with, whether it's their work or their family or whatever it might be. They care not. When the going gets tough, they just disappear. But the Lord Jesus, when the going gets tough, right to the point of him having to lay down his life for his sheep, to lay down his life in death for the sheep, the Lord Jesus does not dip out. He does not quit. He does not give up, because he cares for the sheep so much that he lays down his life for the sheep. So that when he goes, when we go out into this world, in and out, we have a Jesus that thoroughly cares. We walk with him. He sticks by us through life. We live in his care. We know his care. We experience his care. We know his spirit is present within, present with us. We have that, what the Bible calls the earnest. It's a bit like the ticket, the evidence that we are one of his people. Because we know Jesus. If you like, we've heard his voice. We know he's true. We know he won't let us down, because he never has let us down. We know he hears, because whenever we call, he answers. Whenever we need something, he helps. Whenever he needs to guide or chastise or discipline, he does. If you like, the Bible calls it the earnest of the inheritance. It's the ticket, if you like, that we're going to get to heaven. We are ticket holders. If we know Jesus, we are ticket holders for heaven. And this won't let us down. The people that had bought their tickets, all in good faith, thinking they were definitely going to be able to get into America and watch the match, they have been let down, disappointed, because it hasn't been able to come to pass, because access has been denied. But the Lord Jesus, you see, we trust him. We know that once he begins a good work, he will not let us down. He will not fail us. He will complete it. John chapter 10, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life. That means upon my word, says the Lord Jesus, I will give them eternal life. All his essence, all his power, all his promises, all his faithfulness as God are all packed into one sentence. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It will never fail them. It's not like the tickets won't actually materialize. They fail, but this doesn't. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here is the ultimate security. There is no power in earth. There is no power in heaven. There is no power in hell. There is no power in Satan to take God's people, his sheep, out of his hands. This is the beautiful thing about God's word. It gives us a confidence that literally is rock solid. That's why the Lord Jesus says it's like living a life built upon a rock. It's like that your life is built upon a rock solid foundation. And though there may be storms and waves and rivers flooding and all sorts that wash against the rock won't fail, because the rock is Christ. Because he says, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man And actually, man is in italics there, and that means that the word man wasn't there to start with. It was, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. And that's why we can go much further than to say about man. It's no power in heaven, no power in hell, no power of Satan, no power of man, nothing is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. It's a security. It's life, living life, knowing his care. And as we live our lives knowing his care, so we shall die our death knowing his care. And what is more, we shall be receiving those words in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25, at death, a welcome to the kingdom of heaven, a welcome into his, our Jesus's, our Father's eternal care. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus, our eternal King. Jesus is the King. He is the one that says to us, come ye blessed of my Father. And what he has said and promised to us here upon earth, he will carry through. Our Shepherd King, the loving Shepherd that has lovingly, tenderly cared for us through earth, our King, a caring King, welcomed by his Father, welcomed by our Father, our Heavenly Father, to receive those blessings, the blessings of life eternal, as it says in verse 46 of Matthew chapter 25, the righteous into life eternal, those green pastures, he shall go in and out and find pasture, find a blessing. No disappointment. You think about the ticket holders and the great disappointment that they're experiencing, the great loss they're experiencing. Nothing compared to the people that are thinking that they're fine and then end up in eternal disaster. But what a wonderful thing to know that there's no disappointment here. Only eternal, heavenly, loving care. Well, may none of us be disappointed in this great matter. May we all see that now is the time to come to the Lord Jesus, the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. There's an if there. May that if be, in your life, I will go. Not just an if, but I will. Not just a possibility, not just an option, but that you may go and enter in and you shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Knock at that door. Knock at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember me. Remember his promises. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, I pray that God's blessing may rest upon each one here, that each of us here may know the wonderful thing of knocking at the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the Lord Jesus to open his door to us now, so that we enter into his sheepfold here on earth, and hear one day those wonderful words, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, may God add his blessing.